Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Bacon Smile Podcast, episode number 57.
Wow.
We've done a lot of these.
A couple.
Quite a few. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend...
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the show breakdown. So, Sunday was Zoe's first birthday.
Wow.
A year has gone by pretty quick.
It has.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And you still got full color in your hair and your beard.
Almost. I keep the hair on the side of my head pretty short because there's some grays coming in.
Got it.
And my beard will turn white at some point. Get some straggler white hairs coming
on. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to talk about Zoe's birthday. Birthday party was on Saturday. Then... went to Mystic on Sunday for her actual birthday, which was a good time. And then I wanted to talk about birthday traditions, like what you used to do, what I used to do, stuff like that. Then you saw the movie Unbroken.
Yep.
And then you got news and Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
Saint of the day is Saint Andrew Kim Tegan and Companions, Christian martyrs from Korea. Reading is Luke 7, 36 through 50. And then you've got a wonderful story of news of the weird.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's get right into it. So Zoe's birthday party with family and friends and everything was on Saturday.
Beautiful day.
It was awesome.
It's perfect.
Great day. Did it down in Higginham at the campground that my parents stay at. And my dad is like essentially the manager of the campground down there. And it was an awesome time, beautiful day.
Yeah.
You guys got your nice golf cart shuttle.
That's one of the highlights. I mean, hanging out with you guys is awesome, but I always anticipate that ride and go, oh, this is going to be fun.
Because the parking area is up by the rec hall, up in the field. And then my dad's awesome neighbors all have, like, golf carts.
Yeah.
So you get the nice golf cart shuttle. Yep. It's great. The other part is, you know, it's a campground, so you got to go super slow in your car. So this kind of, like, helps out in a sense where not too many cars down in the field and people having to drive, like, 4 miles an hour in a golf cart. It seems a little more reasonable to drive
it's
that
slow. It's fun,
too. Yeah.
Hang on tight. Hang on to your hat.
But anyway, so yeah, it was a beautiful day. People are so generous. We got so many awesome things for Zoe and lots of books, which I love because I read Zoe a bedtime story every night, and it's just cool to change it up.
Yeah.
And it was really, really awesome for both my parents to be here. Both of Eva's parents to be here. Her dad travels a lot. So it just worked out awesome where we could kind of all get together. My brother was traveling, which kind of stunk, but he got to see her the day before and hang out with her for a little bit and give her birthday present from him. So that was cool. But it was just a beautiful day, good food, and... Zoe did not participate well in the cake smash. She just wanted to dip her finger into the frosting, which was adorable. And her little cake was actually like banana bread cake.
Oh, okay.
So it was like kind of healthy for her, a little better than just like, you know, vanilla cake.
Right.
But such just awesome, awesome day. Loved spending it with family and friends and everything like that. And so Sunday we did Mystic Aquarium.
Yeah.
Wasn't that awesome?
That was a lot of fun. And I was telling Eva that it was cool when we went to go see the sea lion show.
Yeah.
Because you don't know sometimes how a one-year-old is going to react to that kind of a setting. And she was completely sucked in. Like just involved and excited. And Eva was saying that she was laughing during some part.
It was unbelievable. She's like the hardest laugh in the world to get, which is crazy because she's my daughter and I laugh all the time. But yeah, so she's just standing on my lap, cracking up at the sea lions, and then Eva was holding her, and she was doing the same thing. It was just amazing, and then all of a sudden, she would just be like, ooh, and just be talking, and you know, just loving every minute of it, pointing and clapping anytime anyone else clapped, and it was just really, really awesome. And so it was just really, like, her just... awe of everything. The fish tanks and the picture that I posted to put out about this podcast is just her like looking in awe at the at one of the tanks, and just she was just so engaged in every little thing, and she was just, you know, talking to herself. It's just her little gibberish that she speaks, and so it was just great. And then Eva's friend Rachel and her husband Mark came with their son Benji, who's like 3-4 months older than Zoe, and so the two of them like standing next to each other at one of the tanks was just so adorable.
Yeah,
and he was just kind of like talking to himself the whole time too, and it was just such a great, blessed day.
Yeah,
you know,
another beautiful day too.
It was just unbelievably nice. Little warm, but I'll take it. It rained that whole week.
Yeah,
so the fact that we had a beautiful day on Saturday for her party, and everyone was super generous, and her little piano that
her tissue box gave her,
and tissue box that was so funny. Her playing is just Eva's sister, Zoe's aunt Sarah, gave her a box of tissues to just take one out.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, oh, there's take more. One out. Ooh, take one out. And so that is just so funny.
One person ended up joking in the crowd saying, you know, I was trying so hard to find the right gift, I should have just gotten tissues.
Apparently. Well, that's like, so my brother gave her this little like talking dog thing with a super awesome activity thing, and she was playing with like the tissue paper from the box and everything like that, which is just awesome. And she loves that little dog. And then Brett, Zoe's godfather, and his mom gave her this other like talking dog. Mm-hmm. These two little activity dogs are just awesome. And so they
do they talk to each other?
Not yet. Okay. It's really funny. So it's just like you can change the levels and change what they say and stuff like that. So it's like educational. The one the Montminis gave her like has the word hand on one of the hands, and it'll talk about like, oh, the dot on my hand is green, and it sings the ABC song and all that stuff. So it's really cool. And the one my brother gave her, you can program in Zoe's name. Ooh. And so it says like, I love you, Zoe. Zoe, what's your favorite food? Mine is cheese. Like, and it's just really cool, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so it's really to help her be more interactive. And then my parents gave her the little Minnie Mouse airplane thing, which is really cool. It's so many awesome, awesome things. And so, and like the Mystic Aquarium was so great with just her wanting to see every little thing and the educational piece of it. And I had to, you know, we didn't end up staying all that long. I had to get back up here at youth group on Sunday night, which was fun and a great time. But, you know, I don't know how I scheduled a youth group on my daughter's birthday. You know, I got to talk to the coordinator of youth ministry. Yeah.
Straighten that guy out.
It's just, how did I do that? Just like a little, like, not thinking, going first and third Sunday of every month, and Zoe's birthday happened to be the 3rd in September. Unbelievable. So that was a long, tiring day. But it got me to thinking, like, and Eva was asking, like, hey, what did you used to do for your birthday? And it took me a long time to remember. But what did you used to do for your birthday growing
up? So my family always hosted the birthday parties. We never really went out to...
And what is your birthday?
August 8th.
Okay.
So we would, my mom would throw a theme party for us, invite some friends from school, and then once we were in either middle school or high school, we could go to the movies with a friend.
Okay,
and then go out for dinner afterwards.
Nice.
And
that
was, so it was nice and fairly simple, but she would get really creative and make these nice cakes for whatever theme the party was.
Oh, okay.
And so we had...
So if you had a Ninja Turtle themed...
Yeah, then we'd have Ninja Turtle style cake.
Sweet.
So it was a lot of fun, but that's been the Shaw Mumford tradition. So nice. Katie's going through that right now too.
That's great. That's awesome. It took me a long time to remember because I couldn't really think of what I did. I mean, I'm super old, so
only by a couple of years. Come on.
No, so it took me a long time to remember. Because my birthday is only 5 days after Christmas. My birthday is December 30th. So it's always really hard to differentiate. And there were a bunch of years in there where my family gave me like one big gift for both, so I couldn't remember what I got for my birthday or what I got for Christmas. Which I was the worst as a teenager. I don't know if I said this before, but I made my parents feel really awful one year where I, like, they would give me one gift for both birthday and Christmas. Like, okay, spoiled kid getting upset. Yeah. When in April, when my brother's birthday was, he would still get another gift, even though he got a big gift for both birthday and Christmas.
Yeah.
And spoiled Steven over here was like, this is crap, this is unfair, and made a huge big stink and made my parents feel like terrible people. And so throwing like that like preteen teenage tantrum made my parents like go well above and beyond to make, you know, make up for it because I was a terrible kid. So that most of what I remembered was that I would get like one gift for both. Yeah. But then I started thinking like, but I also had a party when I was like 10 years old. I can, so for my 10th birthday, I actually got a dog.
Nice.
From I got a little miniature schnauzer, and I was like the most gullible kid because my uncle called me a few days earlier and was like, "Hey, I know it's your birthday, but would you be willing to help me run a couple errands in the morning?" Mm. And I was like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Who falls for that? Hey, I know it's your birthday, but yeah, can we go run a few errands?
Yeah.
10-year-old Steve. What errands would I have to run? So we go to this farmhouse, and he's like, yeah, it's a friend of mine. We just got to pick a few things up, and I hope that's okay. So we go in there. There's a bunch of puppies. He's like, yeah, just go over there and play with the dogs, and I'll go pick up a few things up. And so I'm, like, over there playing with these little puppies, and he's like, he comes out with this other puppy, and I'm like, oh, you want me to put it in here? I'll put it in there. He's like, no, this one's yours.
That's cool. That's
and
an awesome
so that's
gift.
How I got Shadow. But it was really what made me think of it. So I got that puppy, and then he drove me to my birthday party, which was at like this trampoline, like basketball thing for my 10th birthday. And I had to, like, hand the puppy to my parents and then go play with my friends. And all I wanted to do was play with my dog.
Right.
But so we did bowling a couple times, Connecticut Golf Land a couple times. So we did, like, the party thing with, you know, friends from school and everything like that. And I also learned a lesson where, like, if you get a gift that you've already gotten, you're not supposed to be like, hey, I already have this.
Yeah.
Because I did that once.
Oh.
my mom was like, now, Steven, it's not polite. You just say, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, you can either exchange it or it might be nice to have two of something.
Right.
And I learned that lesson young. Because I was the kid who was just like, say whatever's on your mind.
Yeah.
So when I got, you know, another Ninja Turtle that I already had, I was like, yeah, I already have this. It was like, you know, just as a kid, you don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's how you learn.
But also, like, so my grandparents, my dad's parents, would actually just take me shopping on my birthday when I was young and just be like, what do you want? So we'd go out for breakfast and and just, you know, I would shop for my gift. Like, oh, I really want this Transformer. And my grandfather would be like, okay, that's what you got.
There you go.
But as an adult, as I got older, I actually shared my birthday with my Uncle Mike. I was born on his 40th birthday.
Wow.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, so when I turned 20, he turned 60. Except for he used to just shave time off of his birthday. And he always used to joke and say it. By the time I was 30, we would be twins. Because I would say I was born on his 40th birthday. He's like, no, 20th birthday.
That's right.
And he's like, you know, before you know it, we're going to be twins. And that was my Uncle Mike, big goofball. But there was always the obligatory happy birthday. And he'd be like, oh, happy birthday to you. No. Happy birthday to you. And so we would go out to breakfast every year. for our birthday. You know, back, like, when it got to the point where it's like, why are we still doing presents? Like, yeah. Let's just hang out and do card. That's what we did. And I remember one card, it got so upset. It was like, as you get older, you get more letters. And he opens up the card that's like, on the front, it's like BMW. You know, and on the inside, it's like AARP.
Yeah.
CPR. But yeah, so we would just go out to breakfast and stuff like that. And he passed away a few years ago. And so now I go out with my Aunt Janet, his mm-hmm. wife, when we go out for breakfast on my birthday or dinner or lunch or whatever. And I keep the tradition alive.
Awesome.
For the birthday breakfast or dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's cool. And it's cool to keep that kind of tradition alive. And I'm hoping that, you know, we'll keep showing, like, day trips and stuff like that for Zoe's birthdays. And then as she gets older and do parties with her friends and stuff like that. But still do some kind of, like, day trip, whether it's a zoo or the aquarium or something cool like that, you know?
Yeah. You get a little education in it, too.
Exactly. And so try to keep that tradition of birthdays alive. So those of you out there, if you want to share what you did for your birthday, shoot us an email, text, or tweet us.
Instagram
Facebook
us.
Message. You can put it in the comments of this video on Facebook Live. I'm just interested what people did on their birthday, whether you went to, you know, some people that go to a Yankees game every year on their birthday. You know, there's a lot of different traditions out there. I'm just interested to see what people do. So you saw the movie Unbroken. What's the full title?
So the full title is Unbroken: Path to Redemption.
Okay.
And it's the sequel to the Angelina Jolie movie that I guess came out a couple years ago. I never saw it. But it's based on a true story about a U.S. Olympian whose name was Louis Zamperini.
Okay.
And in high school, he ended up, I don't think he finished high school. He ended up enrolling in the, enlisting in the Army during World War II.
Okay.
And then came back. He had been a prisoner of war, got lost at sea for like 67, 68 days.
Yes.
You're starting to make the connection.
Yes. I saw the original movie.
Right.
Yeah, and it was great. It was great.
Right. But he ends up being lost at sea for several months, gets captured by Japanese troops and becomes a prisoner of war, mm-hmm. tortured, gets home. And in the movie, they kind of show a little quick summary of what happened in the previous movie. And in the new one, it shows him looking all happy and upbeat and everything around friends and family. But inside, you start to see all the
darkness.
The darkness and the struggle and the frustration inside of him and the demons that have followed him home. And so as the movie progresses, it shows how he was able to overcome that. And Billy Graham is involved in that transformation.
That's great.
And fun fact is Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, I think his name is, plays him in the movie.
Oh, wow.
So it was really good. It's got a low review on Rotten Tomatoes, but if you look at CinemaScore, the audience poll says they gave it an A out of A+ to F scale.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's great.
Jen and I saw it in the theater. We enjoyed it. We went opening night, and there was one other person in the theater with us.
No.
So I don't think it'll last long in theaters. If you have a chance to see it in theaters, I recommend it, but it'll probably be out on on Netflix
and that's fine.
Amazon.
Yeah. I'm so glad more and more like Christian faith-based movies, and if you haven't seen the original Unbroken movie about what happened with this guy getting captured in World War II and what he went through and stuff like that, I definitely recommend it. And then you definitely want to see the path to redemption, to see the aftermath and how he overcome.
Right.
You know, he overcame what happened. So that's really awesome. And the fact that it has a low score on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not surprising to me. Critics generally don't like Christian movies. Mm-hmm. So for the audience score to give it an A, you know, where the only that score better something. Is an A+, that definitely says something. Yeah. Because they're going to take it for what it is. They're going to go in knowing it's a Christian-based movie and go, oh, this is a really good Christian-based movie. They're not going to go into it being like, oh, well, you're preaching at me, man. I don't want this.
Right.
And that's generally what gives it a low score on Rotten Tomatoes or other critic-based sites is that they just don't rate a movie on what it is.
Right.
They go into a movie, or they'll go into like an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and go, oh, the acting in this movie is terrible. Yeah. <That's> you should have known that going in.
Right. But one thing that Jen and I were talking about during the drive home was we thought it was really cool how they portrayed PTSD and showed, the psychological mindset of it. And so we thought they portrayed that really, really well. And they didn't shy away from the ugliness of it. You know, sometimes with the Christian movies, they try to tone some things down.
Mm.
But they were pretty open with it. So we thought that it was, there were funny moments, there were sad moments, but it was a really uplifting story and a good message at the end.
That's awesome. I recently saw that there's another God's Not Dead movie that just came out. I haven't seen it. Have you seen anything about it?
The last one I heard, I think it came straight to DVD.
It's available on streaming. I was just curious if you had seen it. The other ones are pretty good. They're not, they are what they are. Yeah. And I really enjoyed the first one. And Pure Flix actually puts out a really great just range of movies. And if you haven't just tried the PureFlix app on Fire TV and stuff like that, I've had it. It's great. The library is a little limited, so after like a month or two, you may just say, okay, well, I kind of watched everything that's on here.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do update it and stuff like that. But it's just a good way to just catch up on Christian movies and see what's out there. So they have TV shows and stuff like that, too. So I just, you got to promote it. You got to just say, like, hey, you can go the route of just all these secular movies, or you can just try to watch something with a little Christ edge on it.
Right. It's a little bit of faith reinforcement,
exactly,
too,
you know? And it goes to show you the silent majority that's out there when these movies do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
That movie did amazing.
Yeah, we went opening night for that, too, and we barely found a seat.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you the people out there that are super faithful people, but just don't feel the need to step up and say something, you know? Like, don't feel like they need to shout it from the rooftops that, like, hey, I'm Christian. Yeah. I'm a good person. I don't need to argue my faith with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's where you just... You know, that's essentially why the movie God's Not Dead exists, is people are like, no. You loud a group of people that want to say, like, atheism is the way to go. Like, no.
Yeah.
we know the truth, and we know what God can do. And these movies are a great way to show you, especially the true stories, like Path to Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what God can do when he works in your life. He can help you overcome so much of the darkness and the hurt that we face in our lives, you know?
Amen.
Hey, another way to do that is Christian music.
That's right. Great segue. So coming out this Friday. So remember in Winter Retreat a couple of years ago, we did the superhero theme?
Oh, yeah.
And we had Jesus is My Superhero?
Oh, yeah.
So Hillsong Kids is coming out with another album this Friday. It's called Can You Believe It? And if you have a chance, check it out on YouTube. Jesus is My Superhero by Hillsong Kids. Ellie Holcomb is coming out with a project called Sing Creation Songs. And if you're into Christian hip-hop, Andy Mineo is coming out with Two, the Sword EP, on Friday. And looking ahead to October, some very highly anticipated albums coming out, including For King and Country's Burn the Ships, Toby Mac's new project called The Elements, And coming out October 15th, hard to believe we're already talking about this, but Andrew Peterson and Randall Goodgame is coming out with a project called A Slugs and Bugs Christmas.
A Slugs and Bugs.
A Slugs and Bugs Christmas. He has a book series called Slugs and Bugs.
Slugs and Bugs.
He's got a Christmas themed album. And a couple weeks ago we were talking about Zach Williams and his live CD that he did in prison ministry. I've listened to it on Spotify and it's amazing.
I'll have to check it out.
If you guys get a chance to check it out, it's called Survivor Live from Harding Prison, which is in Nashville, Tennessee.
Awesome.
Kind of like a Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Sound like Smeagol a little bit.
How's Russia's?
Don't mind me, guys. I seem to have an abundance of spit in my mouth.
But yeah, prison in Nashville, Tennessee. It's like Johnny Cash kind of move.
Awesome. And again, we definitely want your guys' interaction. So if there's an artist that you love that we haven't talked about, that you really just say, hey, guys, check this person out. If you know like a kind of an independent Christian artist out there that you want us to get their name out there, just let us know. We'd be happy to listen to some of their stuff and make recommendations and just talk about them on the podcast. Yeah. So again, steve@baconsmiles.org. You can find us on Facebook, Bacon Smiles Ministry, and Instagram, Twitter, all those fancy things. Evan even has Snapchat.
That's right.
So just let us know. There's tons of artists out there. Evan knows most of them. It's kind of what he does.
I'm still learning.
So we just love to hear from you. So anything that you guys want us to listen to, possibly review, movies, if you want us to review a movie that you're like, hey, guys, check this faith movie out.
Yeah, we'll have a movie night.
Yeah, and we'll watch it, and then the next podcast we'll review it. So just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So steve@baconsmiles.org is probably the easiest way to shoot us an email, but comments in the video section of our Facebook page would also be awesome. So, yeah, let's get into the readings. So the gospel of the day is from Luke 7, 36 through 50, for those of you who like to follow along. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. When she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus said to him in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor, one who owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them would love him more? Simon said in reply, the one, I suppose, with the larger debt was forgiven. He said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, Her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah.
So much there. Part of it is like, so the Pharisee says to himself, mm-hmm. How does he not know that this woman is a sinner? And Jesus is just like,
I know.
I know what you're saying and what you're thinking right now. And let me tell you a little story.
Yeah.
The person who is the most hurt, the most damaged, the most in need of forgiveness mm-hmm. is going to love more and is going to proclaim more mm-hmm. when they feel that grace. I was just talking to a friend of mine about confession, and this person hasn't gone in a really long time, and they think that it's just been too long, or it's scary. Yeah. You know, like, it's a scary thought. I'm not even saying that it's not. But that grace to whom little is forgiven loves little. Mm. But that also means though when a lot is forgiven, they go out and they love lots. Mm-hmm. So you just, when you let so much weigh you down, the stuff on your heart that just, you know?
Yeah.
And you think about the fact that this woman, knowing who she is, and with that much darkness on her, and she knows who Jesus is, mm-hmm. and she still sits behind him weeping, washing his feet with her tears, using her hair to wipe them clean. Like,
using perfume. That was probably very expensive.
Very expensive. She had nothing.
Yeah.
It was all she had. But this Pharisee was probably a very wealthy man. Mm-hmm. He was the one who invited him in and gave him nothing. Really?
Yeah.
When you think about it, this woman gave everything, and the Pharisee gave essentially nothing. Mm-hmm. But still, the Pharisee sat there in judgment of this woman. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds you, like, it isn't, trust me, it's hard. I get it. I have a problem with this too. It is not our job to judge others. It is actually our job to not judge others. To not judge others by their sins. We are all sinners. No matter what the sin, it is not our job to sit in judgment. It is our job to love them, to love all sinners, because every single one of us is a sinner. You know, I am a broken person. I am not perfect. I struggle. I have struggled with darkness. I have struggled with many sins in my life. Confession is the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Because that grace where I can go receive the Eucharist and be like fully accepting God's grace mm-hmm. and the Spirit right then in that moment. God has worked through all of my brokenness. And that's why I love that shirt that I brought to the podcast before. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you really think God can't use you? Mm-hmm. Lazarus.
And points to all the people.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, Moses was a drunk. Or Noah was a drunk. And Moses denied God. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on and on. And then it's like, Lazarus was dead.
That's right.
So you really think God can't use you? Mm. Lazarus was dead. You're never too far gone.
No.
You can't just say, I it's been too long. I haven't been to confession in a really long time. I don't go to church anymore because I feel like I'm not welcome. Mm. You're always welcome.
Yeah.
Find home. Come back to the table. Mm-hmm. Come back to the table. Dine with Jesus. Mm. because he's calling you. Your sins will be forgiven. Just come and tell him that you want to be forgiven. Because that's what this woman in the gospel was doing. She's weeping at his feet, kissing them, just saying, without having to say it out loud, God, forgive me. She knew that Christ could forgive her. And she was begging, pleading, loving on him to say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. You know? Like, that's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
So, just come back. So, our saints of the day, this is one of the interesting times where a group of martyrs are the saints of the day. So, St. Andrew Kim Tegan, Paul Chung Hussang, and companions. So, they were martyrs in Korea. And so, basically, it was like almost like a Catholic revolution happening in Korea. And, of course, there were people who did not like that. And so, they were captured, tortured, and killed for the faith. Never denying Christ. And so, as I've said before, the martyrs of our church, the ones who loved their faith so strongly that they would give their lives for it. It makes me think of, so this is not my original thought. I've heard it a few different ways and a few different times, where some people will say that the whole thing is a hoax, that Jesus didn't really come back, that it's just this perpetuated lie along the way. Do you know how many of the disciples and people around them were tortured and martyred? A lot. You don't think someone along the way would have said, all right, you got me. Here's what happened.
Yeah. Fine. I'll tell you the truth.
We're not all these strong, you know, people that when tortured, would the truth wouldn't come out. You know what I mean? And that's what makes me think, like, these men knew the truth in Jesus. And they knew that it was their calling to bring Jesus to Korea. And they gave their lives for it. Yeah. They knew that these people needed God in their lives. And they made the ultimate sacrifice to bring Jesus to these people's lives. I don't know that I'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really know until you're in that position.
You'd like to hope so, but absolutely. You never know.
Well, that's the thing, you know, that old questions, like, if being Christian was a crime, is there enough evidence to convict you? I mean, I have a lot of shirts.
I've got a growing collection myself, too. Jen rolls her eyes every time a new one comes in the mail.
I mean, I love it. But so the real thing is though, how you live. Do you spread the gospel? You know, when necessary, use words. I try. I'm not perfect. But I try.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really tough in today's age. And you want to do the best you can. And that's what we're called to.
Yeah.
We're called to be the best versions of ourselves. And these saints gave everything to the faith. So the question is can we be a little uncomfortable and actually evangelize? Can we have the tough, awkward conversations with people? If people have ever asked you, like, hey, you know, how did you get through this really tough spot? Like, you know, someone might come to me and be like, hey, man, I know you lost your uncles and your friend Matt and a lot of other friends along the way. Like, what got you through that? God. Nothing else. because, yeah, a lot of people help me out through the way, but that's also God. Yeah. God has worked through so many people around me that I can't say it's just the people or that they should take the credit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's God. God put my awesome, amazing wife in my life. My amazing, beautiful one-year-old daughter. Like, that's all God. And he deserves all credit. Mm-hmm. No one else. We should be just praising and turning the glory to God and not saying, like, oh, you know, I'm a great guy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just these, to bring Christ to the people, are we willing to sacrifice? Mm-hmm. Are we willing to evangelize at the risk of losing friends, having people think you're weird? I mean, people already. I'm already.
If they
weird.
Don't know, are they really your friend?
But you know what I mean. Like, yeah. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to talk about it at your job?
Right.
Like, I talk about youth group. I have people that I work with that watch this podcast on Facebook, and they see my posts about it, and they talk to me about it. And some of them are like, "Hey, man, that's good for you. You know, it's not for me. Whatever." But hey, maybe one day, that little seed, you know, it's just, are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and really bring the gospel with you? It's tough.
When I was working at AAA, there was actually a kid that came in and he was getting a duplicate license because he had been incarcerated. And one of the things they took away from him was his photo ID.
Oh, wow.
And so he came in. And I can't remember how old he was. He might have been 14 or 15 years old. And he's standing there. His mom's behind him. And he's just bragging about all the times he's been in jail, bragging about all the different drugs he's taken. And, you know, how many licenses he's had confiscated and this and that. He's just talking all proud. And his mom's just standing there behind him. And some of my coworkers are kind of like nervously chuckling and stuff like that. And going, this guy's not knowing how to handle the situation. Especially his mom right there. And I think we had at that point closed. So the doors were locked, but we were letting customers out as they're leaving. And I said, kind of tongue in cheek, but with enough sincerity, I was like, dude, you need Jesus. you know? And it just kind of like came out of my mouth kind of quickly, and I was a little stunned by it.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, like just kind of looking down. His mom was behind him nodding.
Wow.
There you go. Nodding her head. And my boss was laughing, just kind of looking at me like, where did that come from? But hopefully
yeah, that just hit that home little
where, you know, he maybe went dude, home and thought about
you
it.
You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe next time, maybe another time down the road, I'll share a story of a really good friend of mine that I had to say, like, no, man, until you get your life in order, we can be friends, but you're not welcome in my home, you know? So sometimes that's what it takes, you know? I'll share that another time. What do you got for News of the Weird?
So News of the Weird comes from Canada. It was a college student who had met a girl while on campus, and they hit it off really, really well. She gave him her phone number, but while giving out her information, apparently the number was incorrect. So he went on the school directory and emailed all 247 Nicoles on campus in one single email saying, if you don't fit this description, then ignore. And if you are the one and just don't want to talk to me, that's okay as well. So this email chain ended up becoming a life of its own because all the Nicoles could see each other's email addresses. So they removed him from the email and started mass emailing back and forth and going, should we all say that we are the Nicole that he's looking for? And then a Facebook group appeared called Nicole from Last Night, and nearly a dozen of the like-named students attended a meetup event, and nearly 40 Nicoles attended.
So. That's so funny. The Nicole from last night became right. the name of their Facebook group.
Right.
That's so funny. But did he ever find the actual one? No?
It doesn't seem like it? It doesn't say. Actually, it says they did eventually connect and went out as friends.
Ah, okay. So it didn't work out.
Because the email and saw all 239 other Nicoles in this. This guy is not getting it. A little too polite.
Yeah, yeah.
A little too Canadian polite.
But those of you who are listening to the podcast, that music means it's time to wrap it up. And we thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all that you do, the support that you guys have for us. Shoot us an email. Shoot us a line. That's all I got. You got anything?
No, just have a great week, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
So, thanks for listening. Keep smiling, and God bless.